the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the June Roundtable. We've got a stellar cast as ever assembled from all around the country, actually. But before we meet them, because we are recording on Blackout Tuesday, I thought I should share this with you.
Now, as you know, at Radio 1, we talk a lot about mental health. And mine was in a really, really bad way yesterday. In fact, it has been for the past few days, in particular, in relation to the death of George Floyd. George Floyd, an unarmed black man who died whilst being held under arrest. Now, I didn't have the mental strength to face you guys yesterday to ask, hi, how was your weekend? Like I usually do with my happy intention, because I know that my weekend was terrible. I was sat on my sofa, crying, angry, confused, and also knowing, stuck at the news. Stuck at the news of yet another brutalised black body. Knowing how the world enjoys blackness and seeing what happened to George, we black people get the feeling that people want our culture, but they do not want us. In other words, you want my talent, but you don't want me. There is a false idea that racism, and in this case, anti-blackness, is just name-calling and physical violence, when it's so much more insidious than that. One of my favourite thinkers is a woman called Amanda Seales, and she says this, and I feel it deeply, when she says, you cannot enjoy the rhythm and ignore the blues. And I say that with my chest. I want to say to our black listeners, I hope you feel seen and heard today. And to those of you that already let me know that you are doing the work to be committed to doing better, I see you. So let's do this. Let's all be anti-racist.
That's Clara Amfo, recorded this afternoon as we're recording, Tuesday, June the 2nd, on Radio 1. And I don't think it needs any comment. Let's meet our panel now, starting with the man with the very large microphone.
Hello, it's Chris Mason here, presenter of Radio 4's Any Questions and one of the BBC's political correspondents, newly in possession, as you mentioned, Trevor, of a microphone shield in my front room here in Charlton in South East London, hopefully improving the acoustic and so no longer sounding like the gents' toilets at Euston Station.
Hi, yes, and I'm William Rogers. I was the chief executive of UKRD Group and presently a director of a company called Eat Your Greens Group, which produces, amongst other things, interesting podcasts. And I'm sat here very jealous of Chris's new mic and microphone shield.
I'm David Hepworth, and I write about audio for the Radio Times. They put me on podcast duty during for the duration, possibly, or even longer, who knows.
Which brings on to one of the things I actually wanted to talk about, really, which is you've listened to radio all your life, and now you listen primarily to podcasts. What's the difference between them as a listening experience, do you think?
I always think the difference is that a broadcaster always assumes people are about to switch off. And a podcaster always assumes that they've pulled it towards them, therefore they'll tolerate. And, you know, if there's any bit where their attention drops, they'll just stop listening for a while and then they'll start listening again.
If we had somebody who was both a broadcaster and a podcaster, we could put that question to him, couldn't we, Chris?
I love that description, Dave, of the idea of the broadcaster living in constant fear of people turning off. And it's true. I think that's exactly right when you're broadcasting. And I suppose there is that distinct difference, isn't there? As much as the radio geek in me mourns that some radio columns have morphed into podcast columns, I've noticed that in the Spectator recently, that they call their radio column the podcast column now. I think you're right in that when you're podcasting, there is that, because it is a more narrow casting experience, there is that you can assume a little bit more knowledge, you can assume a little bit more interest. We certainly could, when we did Brexit cast, you could assume a far greater interest from our podcast audience than you could when I was on Five Live or Radio 4 or any sort of linear mass market outlet. But then the other intriguing thing is the extent to which then the kind of the tone of podcasts kind of bleeds over into how we do the other stuff as well.
William, can I bring you in here? What are you listening to these days? You know, has this changed the pattern of your audio consumption?
It actually has a little. I almost feel I ought to be saying I listen to some podcasts that Chris does, but I have to say over the last few weeks, I haven't. My listening has become slightly more podcast focused and less radio focused. As it happens. But I think for me, podcasting is very much the sort of long tail of broadcasting, in a sense that you can go into things in a much greater depth and you're likely to get the really keen interest of those people who listen to that subject because they're really interested in it.
Chris, one of the things I find interesting about your tweets is that, I'm a bit of a political fiend myself, and I can't keep up with it all. But you're as likely to be tweeting about what was on Pulse or Radio Derby or, you know, some local station as you are what was on the Today programme. Where do you do all this listening to pop radio?
Well, it's on. It's classic sort of radio nerd radio in every room. So I've got. It was my 40th a few weeks ago, and my wife got me a new radio, which has now taken up pride of place in the kitchen, which I think is where we do most of our radio listening. One of these Roberts iStream 94 things, which has got, you know, internet radio and all the D2 digital stuff as well. So, you know, radio in the kitchen, radio in the bathroom, waterproof radio in the bathroom. It was meant to be in the shower, but I've discovered that if you actually have a radio in the shower, even if it is waterproof, which it is, you can't actually hear it when your head's under the water. So it's no good. So it sits on the side. But yeah, there's radio in the shower, radio in the bedroom, you know, and they're all on different things. And I just classic nerd love sort of listening around. And also there's a little bit of me that is, you know, too many people in my view, in my game, i.e. in news and politics and journalism, you know, think of the radio and only tend to think of, you know, maybe one or two networks. And as proud as I am to work for Radio 4 and have a programme on Radio 4, immensely proud. It's the proudest thing I've done professionally in my life. You know, I want to listen around because the audience listen around. And I want to see, you know, what's the top story on Heart? What's the top story on Magic? You know, because that's as useful to me in getting a sense of what people are talking about and aware of as, you know, who appeared at 10 past 8 on the Today programme.
The only thing I've learnt in 40-some years in media, and I'm not an expert on radio or podcasting, but the only thing I've learned is this. The only thing that matters in media is habit. It's not what you do occasionally, it's what you do all the time. And we're living through the greatest disruption to media habits in the media age. And nothing, it strikes me, is going to reemerge in quite the same way. And I've noticed, just from my own tiny point of view and my little, you know, me and my wife, here we are on our own here, nobody is listening to the radio. That's not suggesting it. Nobody in the country is listening to the radio, but we completely lived by it before. But we've absorbed the basic government instruction. It's really bad. Stay indoors. Fine. We've done that. We don't necessarily need to know every daily convulsion of the story. And we don't necessarily want to know it either. And we are averagely concerned citizens. Mm. And so all the, you know, what's going to happen is all kinds of ingrained media habits, buying a newspaper, listening to a radio program at a certain time or whatever, television program, are going to be shattered utterly by this experience. And I wonder how the industry is prepared for that.
I love that thought about habit. But I think that you're onto something as well about that idea about knowing, you know, having heard the government message and therefore sort of drawing a veil over any more news around the virus or overdoing it. Because I think, you know, certainly in my experience journalistically, every other story I've covered up until now in my 20-ish year, almost 20-year career, I've been a observer, not a participant. And we're all participants, aren't we, in this thing with the coronavirus? We have to be. Yeah. And so in a way that news traditionally can be, and I use this phrase incredibly lightly in the context of news, but in the way that news traditionally can be at least an element of escapism from your own life to find out what's going on in other people's, because we're all living this stuff, I kind of get why people might want to escape it a bit. I said it actually at the start of an Any Questions about a month ago, that I sort of thanked people for being there, even though they might feel like they've kind of overdone it as far as news on the virus is concerned. And I think you're right. That is it's a big factor with all of this.
William, I want to change the subject now and talk about what was last week's big news, but also this week's news in radio. And that's what Bauer is doing with the stations that it bought over a year ago and can now change into Greatest Hits Radio or Hits Radio or keep them as they are, whatever. All the details are on the Radio Today website, and I won't go into them in any great detail. But obviously, many of these stations were owned by you. So I'm wondering how you feel about what's being done to the ex-UKRD stock.
Well, I think the first thing to say, and I think it's important that it's said, is how sorry I think we should be, and I am, about the loss of jobs and people's departure from their radio stations. A lot of these people have worked unbelievably hard and very professionally for many, many, many years, and local radio has been part of their life, not just their job. And I think it's very, very sad that there will be scores, if not potentially hundreds of people who may lose their jobs. And it's an opportunity to wish them well with whatever they may do next, but also to say thank you on behalf of radio for some people whose roles have been significant and very important in a local radio context. I think the difficulty about all this is the impact of COVID-19 itself. I mean, I clearly don't see detailed numbers anymore, but you don't need to be Albert Einstein to work out that the consequences of this pandemic on commercial radio revenues has been utterly catastrophic. And I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if revenues across some of these months haven't actually halved, or possibly even worse. So any radio operator that has to make decisions against this backdrop is probably going to make decisions, some of which may have been forced upon them. So I'm going to avoid the temptation to pass judgment on the decisions that Bauer has taken, because I think anybody would not wish to be in their position. The only thing I would say in general terms is something that I have believed in for over 20 years involved with UKRD and 30 years having an involvement with the radio industry. And that is that what I would describe and always have done as proper local radio, it has clearly taken a battering as a result of these changes. And it's just a great shame, because I think we are slowly going to lose some of those critical component parts, which are the glue of communities. And I think commercial radio delivered locally within the local community that it served made a profoundly important impact on those communities. So I guess whilst I have no criticism to make, because anybody who's in charge of radio these days has some pretty difficult months ahead of them and some dreadfully, dreadfully difficult decisions to take, I'm very saddened, and particularly for the people, but also for the principle that I've always believed in, which is that local radio should be local. And I hope that Bauer managed to at least allow some of that to be maintained. I was delighted to see some of those radio stations surviving, not least Pirate, which was where I was originally involved in radio as someone who helped to bid for and won that particular license. And it's good to see Pirate surviving, but I think it's very sad, and I think it's disappointing, and I think it changes the nature and feel of commercial radio in the UK away from its local roots, which, from a personal perspective, I'm saddened about.
Chris, you're famously from Yorkshire, as is Dave. Mm. Do you think there's any room for local radio, for local news coverage from anyone except the BBC?
Well, my instinct journalistically is that, you know, competition is always a good thing for the journalist, but also then for the listener. You know, and I think I had a call from Tom Harland, a guy at Stray FM in Harrogate about 6 months ago, who wanted to have a little chat with me because he was doing the overnight show for Stray on election night. And I thought, you know, what a wonderful, you know, and he knew what was coming. In fact, I think I'm right in saying he left a few months ago.
He did, yeah.
To go and retrain to be a train driver.
Yes, he did.
because he could see what was coming. But there he was doing a, you know, doing an overnight show on election night with lots of time to fill whilst you're waiting for the declarations and all the rest of it. And he got me on as somebody, you know, grown up down the road in the Dales and all the rest of it. And I remember as a teenager, just as nerdy then as I am now, you know, going shopping with my mum and dad and walking past the Stray FM building in Harrogate and thinking, you know, pressing my spotty nose up against the glass. And so, you know, from that perspective, you know, it's sad. I think it's sad in terms of the journalistic ladder, if you like, that local radio is a proud part of. Not that you can't have an incredibly fulfilling journalistic career, you know, purely in local radio. I don't mean to indicate for a second that everyone would necessarily aspire to, you know, work in national radio. But it is, you know, I started in BBC local radio after a traineeship at ITN and learned how to be a journalist and a reporter on a local patch where you're the only person covering a story. So you can't just copy what the Press Association have written. And, you know, you properly learn how to tell stories and how to connect with an audience, because that connection is so much stronger inevitably at a local scale. So I think it's sad. I'm conflicted though, because I'm also a big fan of Greatest Hits Radio. And, you know, I wonder what Barrow are going to do with it, as they have, you know, so many more licenses that they'll suddenly be broadcasting it over. Does that mean more money, more investment, more programmes, more interesting names that are popping up? So as a listener, I'm intrigued, you know, on that side of it. But yeah, you know, journalistically, and for the sort of rich diversity of stuff coming out of speakers, yeah, you know, it's impossible not to be a bit sad.
Dave, do you think local radio simply reached the end of the road, apart from if it's publicly funded like the BBC stations?
From my position of sublime ignorance here, I wonder...
Never stopped you before.
No, absolutely, and it won't now. as I said, things that we're going to emerge from this into a different world. That world is going to involve a lot less movement around, a lot less free attitude to, I'll go here, I'll go there. And you wonder if that is one of the kind of things that might prove some, you know, shot in the arm for localness in terms of interest. Because, you know, I know just from my neighbours, and, you know, from the kind of take-up of WhatsApp groups of people slandering their neighbours and worrying about the traffic calming and all that kind of stuff, there is no shortage of people's interest in their very small local area. Don't necessarily want to know about the larger local area, they want to know about the small local area. And you do wonder whether there could be an opportunity of any kind through technology or whatever there. But as I say, I'm talking from a position of complete ignorance there. And just the other thing, only other thing I'd add, is I am a connoisseur of corporate announcements from media companies. And I particularly comb any that come from radio groups, because I go through paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, and I never see any benefit for the listener. The benefit is always to the group, to the advertiser, to the technology. It's rarely ever to the listener. And I would say the same thing about this.
Perhaps Bauer will be able to afford to get some decent logos for their stations. I'm just looking at their press release. They're terrible, aren't they? Like they've been done by kids in an infant school. What do we think of Ian Lee leaving Talk Radio, Chris?
It's sad, I think, because he's so distinctive, isn't he? He's so different. He does things in a completely different way to anyone else, really. And so he's unique. So, you know... I know of him via his ex-wife, who's a BBC correspondent, occasionally exchanged tweets with him and whatnot when I've been listening. So, yeah, it's sad. I hope he pops up again somewhere else. He's sort of, you know, spent plenty of his time in his career, hasn't he, bouncing around all sorts of different radio stations. So, you know, he is hoping he pops up somewhere soon.
We wish him well. Let's pause for a small commercial moment.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it. Radio Today.
It's the June Roundtable from Radio Today. I'm Trevor Dan. David Hepworth is here. Chris Mason is here. And William Rogers is here. William, you've launched a few radio stations in your time. What do you make of Times Radio, which now has a full lineup announced?
Pretty impressive, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to listening to it and seeing what it sounds like. I think it's a tremendous lineup. I mean, it's almost an endless list of pretty impressive people, whether it's, you know, Giles Corran, Hugo Rifkin, John Pienaar, Aisha Hazarika, Michael Portillo. I mean, it's impressive. And the other thing about Times Radio is the owners of Times Radio, and you only have to look at what they've done with their other radio stations, are not frightened of investment, and they're not frightened of marketing, and they're not frightened of putting the money behind the names and the quality broadcasters that are needed when you're going to launch something with as prestigious a name. And I think with talk becoming, it's a personal view, but I think with talk becoming ever more important as a component part of radio, whether it's in the public domain or the private domain, I think Times Radio is probably going to be one of the most exciting radio developments to take place in 2020 and beyond. And it's a really good, exciting initiative. And I'm actually really looking forward to listening. It's going to create a really interesting space.
Chris, one or two of your friends have left the BBC to join Times Radio, not you. What do you think the attraction is for them?
I think it's probably the attraction of starting something from scratch. You know, I think of people like Phil Williams and Callum MacDonald, old mates from Five Live. Matt Chorley, who is my lunch partner at Westminster. One of the conventions at Westminster amongst the political reporters is that you team up, a couple of you, and invite ministers and shadow ministers out for off-the-record lunches. And Matt and I have been lunch partners for the last 7 or 8 years. And I know he's very, very excited about doing mid-morning on Times. And, you know, and it, for me as a listener, I mean, I just love a launch. I remember Century 105 in Manchester way back in the 90s. Yorkshire Dales Radio that became part of Stray and will soon be part of Greatest Hits when Stuart Clarkson of Radio Today was doing the evening show back in the 90s. So, you know, I love it from a listener's perspective, a launch, not least because I guess the counterpoint to the discussion we've just had about Barrow and Greatest Hits is that, you know, you have, you know, in the critique that you end up with a networked and therefore similar or identical product in lots of different places where there used to be distinction. I guess something like Times Radio comes along and it's something new, isn't it? So, you know, from that perspective as a listener, it'll be an intriguing thing to flick on.
Dave, do you think it'll tempt you and your missus to switch the radio back on?
Yeah, definitely. I think it will. I look at the list of presenters and I can't help thinking that's really good, but it looks like a list that was dreamed up on a conference. You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be ideal if we had Giles Corran and we had, you know, Hugo Rifkin and whatever, all this kind of stuff? And you can imagine that the conference goes down really well. And then in practice, you know, you think there's going to be a Roland Rat moment here, isn't there? You know, this is just too nice. You know, this is too comfy a middle-class dinner party setup you've got here. But that's fair enough. It feels to me quite metropolitan. And I wonder if that's going to be, if they're open about that being a point of difference. The other thing that intrigues me is where's the strong brand? I mean, the Times, you know, the Times has been losing money for years, hasn't it? Is the Times supposed to benefit the radio? Is the radio supposed to benefit the Times? I'm not really clear on that. But I'll certainly try, and there's loads of broadcasters there I really like. And I get the feeling that it would be like Radio 4 with slightly less worried about its heritage.
Do you think Radio 4 would survive without its news, Chris? Because actually, I know you work on the news programmes, but plenty of people say to me that it's the news programmes that they find the most off-putting now, and they really wish it would be all the other stuff all day long. And in a way, maybe that's what Times Radio is.
Yeah, I suppose the nature of Radio 4, and I say this as a sort of long-time contributor, as a political correspondent, but a very much a sort of newbie presenter. What I'm learning, and my goodness, I'm learning a lot, but what I'm learning is that the essence of Radio 4 in terms of what, you know, is offered to the listener is that each programme in its own way is distinctive. It is different from everything else. And so you can be, I suppose, a fan of the Archers, but maybe not necessarily listen to a great deal else on the network or any, you know, any other combination of programmes. Or there might be bits of the schedule that you don't tend to go that close to, but you devour other bits. In other words, there are some very big, I guess, programme brands, aren't there, within the Radio 4 schedule, as well as Radio 4 itself being a brand. And I guess in a way that lots of other radio stations tend to pitch themselves as, you know, you turn on and you know what you're going to get to a greater or lesser extent at any time of day or night. I guess that's different with the way that Radio 4 always has been. And so in that sense, you know, rattling around on a network where there's such a great diversity of stuff, for want of a better word to describe it, I think it's kind of always been the Radio 4 way, hasn't it?
Chris, while I've got you, can I just ask you a thing about being on Radio 4? There is a certain weight on your shoulders. I mean, I've presented the very, very occasional Radio 4 programme, and I don't know whether you feel this, but there's this sense of,
oh, God, yeah.
Oh my God, you know, I'm on the Heritage Station now.
Totally.
I better watch my P's and Q's. And also, I'm probably broadcasting to members of the royal family and members of the government and the judiciary, and there are probably some bishops tuning in.
Yep.
Are you all kind of aware of that when you're doing AQ?
Absolutely. And so I have this running joke, or I did have a running joke when we did any questions in front of a live audience, which obviously for the last couple of months hasn't been the case. But I would always joke to the audience, but it was one of those jokes where I meant every word of it, that prior to us, so what normally happens on any questions is that us and the panel all walk onto the stage at about 10 to 8, we're on at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and the live audience are in front of us, but we're not on the radio until sort of 2 minutes past 8. So I have a bit of a chat with the live audience. And I always joke at sort of 7:59, 30, that here comes the bit which always makes me sit up straight. In other words, the pips. And they never fail to have that effect, because you're just incredibly conscious of the as you say, that the sort of the weight of the brand, the heritage of the brand, the reach of the brand, and all of those things. Yeah, I never fail to leave you. But then that's the power of it, and that's the privilege of it. And, you know, and I sort of never forget the privilege either.
Okay, we will need to find out what you three have been listening to. You've got two choices to come. We'll take another commercial break and then be right back with our June roundtable.
Thank you, Trevor. Yes, in these lockdown days we're living in, you might still be looking for a solution to get yourself on the air from home or to connect with guests for your radio show or your podcast. CleanFeed is one such solution, which is worth a try. There is a completely free version to get you started within minutes, and it's really good quality, just using a browser, no software to download or anything like that. You send a link, somebody at the other end clicks on it, and they connect with you in decent quality. It is really simple to use, as I said, and you can find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa. It's time to hear the choices of our guests, their recommendations, podcasts, or programmes. I'm going to start with you, Dave, and I'm guessing it's a podcast.
It's not, actually, strictly. It's a kind of it's a hybrid that I don't know if you've ever dealt with us before. I suppose it's paid audio on demand. It's a service which has the rather unlovely name of Audm. Spelt A-U-D-M. Yes, that's right, kids. A-U-D-M. My God, what a terrible name that is. But it's a good idea. Started about 3 years ago in the States, and basically it's long-form journalism from the likes of New York Times, The New Yorker, The London Review of Books, The Atlantic, Vanity Fair, all very pucker publications. All run really long-form features that you really can't be bothered to get round to reading, but you'd be quite happy to listen to them if they are voiced by, as they are in this case, really high-caliber voice actors. And it goes together with that. You pay about $8 a month, I think. You have an app, and the app reads the... You can read the item at the same time as you're listening to it, so it pauses it, takes you back to the same spot. It's a beautiful bit of technology, and it's just been bought by the New York Times company. So I think, and the New York Times company are very savvy when it comes to digital media, it seems to me. And so I think where they go, others may follow in due course. So I think that could be interesting.
So here's something from Audm.
One day in early June, Kamala Harris, the junior senator from California, tapped the glass of the bakery case at a blue bottle coffee shop on a non-iconic block in Beverly Hills. No one seemed to know who she was, another polished professional woman grabbing an afternoon coffee, which was fine by her. She had chosen the spot, presumably for the anonymity. A few minutes later, her body woman delivered her a cookie, caramel chocolate chip covered in a light snowfall of flaky salt. As Harris broke off small pieces and popped them in her mouth, we talked about her early life, rummaging through the layers for identifying details. The child of immigrant academics who divorced when she was young, her mother, a cancer researcher, came from India, and her father, an economist from Jamaica, Harris grew up between Oakland and the Berkeley Flats, but also spent time in college towns in the Midwest.
That's a little clip from Autumn. Just before I leave you on this occasion, Dave, I forgot to ask you what you make of the new way of doing the Archers.
Oh, my God.
Stands back.
Well, it's the single worst idea in the history of broadcasting. It's as simple as that. It's basically turning the Archers sounds like fan fiction, suddenly. It sounds like somebody's absolute fantasy. I simply can't get through an episode. You think, this thing has survived, well, it hasn't survived wars, has it? But, you know, all kinds of national crises. But you do wonder what's going to come crawling out of the wreckage of Ambridge after this. You know, it's a terrible idea. I can't bear to talk about it.
All right, let's go to William Rogers. William, your first choice.
Yeah, the first recommendation I would make is actually through BBC Sounds app, which is a podcast, and it's one of the Michael Portillo 2 series podcasts about capitalism on trial. And I think as we're coming out of all of these problems you look at over the last 10, 15 years, I do wonder whether it's going to lead to a much deeper and more meaningful review by almost everybody about what matters and how society works and how capitalism itself needs to be changed and adapted to help people with that. And it's a really excellent podcast, if not a little dry and a little deep, but it's all the more interesting for the contributors. And it's a fascinating two-episode podcast series. And if you're remotely interested in the world around you and how you're likely to be able to influence or be influenced by it, I would recommend you take a few minutes and listen to both of those episodes.
As a former politician, I think about whether we can maintain public support for a system that many associate with inequity and unfairness.
There's a huge range of discontent erupting all over the world. There's great degree of inequality and discontent in many societies, as proven by riot recently in this country.
In this series, I want to put capitalism on trial. In the second programme, I'll probe whether the recent economic crises suggest that capitalism has become more unstable and out of control. Does it actually work anymore? But in this first programme, I'm going to focus on the morality of capitalism. Does it create more inequality than other systems? Does it turn us towards selfishness and greed? On the other hand, is there any other system that could lift so many people out of poverty and create societies rich enough to provide welfare, health, and education services?
A future star of Times Radio, Michael Portillo, William Rogers' first choice. Chris Mason, what's yours?
My first choice, call me traditional, I'm actually going to pick a radio show, and I am going to pick Now That's What I Call a Chart Show on Greatest Hits Radio with Mark Goodyear on a Sunday tea time. So 5 till 7, it's kind of reclaiming that traditional chart spot. And it's just a great listen, good old-fashioned, trusted guide, guiding you through, you know, big hits, but then also obscure records. I even found myself taking a picture of my radio a few weeks ago because I heard this track that I'd never heard before and I just thought was an absolute belter. Bannerman by Blue Mink. Or is it Blue Mink by Bannerman? I don't even know. Anyway, it was just fantastic. It was just fantastic. And I just thought, this is terrific. And
Your credibility is just gone, Mason.
I never had any in the first place. Dignity left the building with me many, many years ago. And it's a cracking listen. Put that on, cook my tea.
jobs are good.
Stop From Being Number One by Madonna, True Blue and the Communards, Don't Leave Me This Way. Number two, October 86, five-star Rain or Shine. Their first single was called Problematic. They debuted on Pebble Mill at One in the 80s. They were unsigned, but before they'd even finished the song, they'd been offered a major record deal. On to November, with another one of those feel-good radio hits from the autumn of 1986 that still sounds good today. At number four, Swing Out Sister, Breakout.
David, back to you for your second choice.
Well, I admire the cheek in doing it, this extraordinary podcast series called Winds of Change, have you come across this, which comes out of the same people who do Pod Save America, whatever, and it's authored by an American journalist called Patrick Radden Keith, who wrote a very good book about Northern Ireland. And basically, it's the idea that somebody told him 10 years ago that the Scorpions hit Winds of Change brought down the Berlin Wall because it was written by the CIA. And so he decided he wanted to go off and investigate whether there's any truth in this. I don't know whether he finds there's any truth in it or not. But what I do know is this. He's done 14 episodes, okay? And hats off to anybody who can do 14 episodes of these things. And I think it relates to one of the things we were talking about earlier about podcasting. I do believe this. And I've been doing the Word podcast since 2004 or whatever with Mark Ellen. And I always say to Mark, when you fear it's getting boring is when it's getting good. And that's what I think is one of the things that applies with podcasts. And so lots of the things I like are like Winds of Change. You know, it's like Slow Burn, the series from Slate. You know, they do stories that you kind of half know, but in detail that you never expected at all. And I find that quite exciting once you get into it.
The song is arguably too long. The 14-episode podcast series is definitely too long. But anyway, here it is.
Did that seem strange that a rocker might have functioned as an agent in some capacity?
It seemed cool. It didn't seem strange at all, because I think if you look at the tools and techniques and the way that you would try to influence people, it would make sense. So if you see these kind of activities going on and then you just take it out of the context of kind of post 9/11 and you put it in the context of the Cold War, then it absolutely makes sense that a band or that music or that other media like movies could be used to communicate what the U.S. is about, kind of what the West, the ideals of the West, or more broadly just to communicate the situation that you're in. You're not alone.
Right, there we go. Thank you for that, Dave. William, it's time for your second choice.
My second choice is from the Eat Your Greens series of podcasts. And these are podcasts that come out about every week. And they are discussions and chats with people who've either influenced something, done something particularly unusual, or changed something. And this particular one has been fascinating. And it's about a guy called Nick Butter. And Nick is someone who has run a marathon in every single country in the world, including the most dangerous places. And his explanations of his travels, trials, tribulations is a really fascinating listen. And if you've ever felt like you've got something you need to overcome or push through or just keep going, you could do a lot worse than listen to that particular podcast, because he's a remarkable character and grit, determination, oozing out of every pore from that young man. And it's a fascinating listen.
And what's it called again?
It's actually the Eat Your Greens series of podcasts, and it's literally Nick Butter.
You've got the physical endurance, the mental endurance, the logistical endurance, and the financial endurance. Endurance, multiply all of those by one another in a place where you can't escape those 2 years of every country. You have to keep going regardless. It's unrelenting, and it's very, very difficult to keep in touch with everybody. You know, you've got battles with Wi-Fi, you've got battles with airport security. You have all of these little things, and you're all the time, I'm on my own, fighting for it in my own mind, on my own to resolve the situation. And so I think that was the hardest bit of the whole thing, was the compound effect of everything. There was no one bit. The running was the opposite end of the spectrum. The running was the easier bit, apart from when you have kidney infections and dogs biting you.
There's Nick Butter from Eat Your Greens, a company run by William Rogers. Let's go to Chris now for your second choice, please.
Well, I should pick, Meanwhile in Brussels by Katja Adler, which was on Radio 4 the other day at the beginning of June, and I'm going to have to catch up on BBC Sounds, but because I want to go back to a sort of commercial music radio example, the one I'm actually going to pick, because I just find myself being drawn to it, and I actually struggle to almost get square in my head why I'm lured to this presenter, but I think it's a combination of word economy, passion, that sense of being up. I first listened to him as a teenager on Century in the northwest of England. Nick Jackson, who does Sunday Breakfast on Virgin, just started, I think, in the last couple of months. I've only discovered it in the last, in the last couple of months. And he does these incredible top of the hours, which are never more than about 7 or 8 seconds long, and yet manage to combine a kind of a sense of day, pace, bit of personality, and then bang, straight on with the music. And I don't know, I find myself doing a very, very different type of broadcasting, always listening to those guys and just trying to, I don't know, listen and learn really about how they communicate and seeing what little things I can take from it. So that would be my second choice.
Nick Jackson, Virgin Radio.
So here it comes, the last day of May. Fine, dry, warm sunshine, and June will start exactly the same.
The best music. Virgin Radio.
Virgin Radio.
John Waiton missing you. Morning, I'm Nick Jackson. If you've done the home haircut thing, then you may have gone onto YouTube for some handy hints and advice. But in America last week, they took things one step further. One of the big American TV networks, I think it was CBS, did an hour-long special, Haircut Night. And they basically had a load of top hairstylists walking viewers through the perfect DIY home haircut and colour and style from their own homes. I don't think we've done that over here yet, have we? There's still time. Haircut Night, coming to a TV screen near you soon. Probably. Biffy Clyro on Virgin Radio. This is Virgin Radio. Morning, hope you're okay. I'm Nick Jackson. I've played some great 80s anthems so far this morning. John Farnham, John Waite. They've not all been from artists called John, by the way. There's Simple Minds and Alive and Kicking. And here's a band who are celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. And they're celebrating by releasing some new material. Wasted on You is new from Evanescence.
From Sunday Breakfast on Virgin, that's Nick Jackson, courtesy of Chris Mason. Bit of a surprise to find you picking two bits of music radio, Chris, but delightful that you did. We usually end with any other business. Is there anything you'd like to bring up, William, that we haven't yet so far?
Just a final thought that I hope that local commercial radio, in spite of being sandwiched between the indifference of our politicians and the incompetence of its regulator, Ofcom, manages to survive. And that would be my final thought on the subject.
Dave?
Just the magic of audio. That's the second podcast I've been on this week that's mentioned Blue Mink. You know, so God bless pop music.
And finally, Chris.
Well, you've stole my finale. I was just going to say, put Blue Mink on.
Well,
The Mink.
Stu will mix this, and he'll, I'm sure, take that recommendation on board.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you very much for being on the show, Chris. You clearly ooze stamina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, William. This has been the June edition of the Radio Today Roundtable. We'll be back in a month's time with the July version. Thanks for listening.
Like the band, the man.
It was 30 years ago that Lancashire got its first taste of local commercial radio choice when Red Rose split its AM and FM frequencies and one station became two.
Now it's decision time. Will it be 97.4 Red Rose Rock FM or Red Rose Gold on 999 AM? It's time to make your choice now.
It's Friday, June 1st, 1990. It's 8 o'clock across the Northwest. And this
is the new Red Rose Rock FM.
Best rock, best talk. Rock FM.
Rock FM.
Red Rose Rock FM.
Good morning. It's bigger and better than ever. Friday, June the 1st, and this is the new Red Rose Rock FM.
Rock in the Northwest.
Rock FM, launching this week in 1990, called Rock, not because of its music, but because it was very nearly going to move to Blackpool. It's 2 years since Hits Radio launched, spawned from a marriage of the UK station The Hits and what had been Key in Manchester.
Key 103 is upgrading.
Yeah, we're about to become the country's first national commercial radio station ever to come from Manchester.
Now, because of this, our name is changing as well. We are going to start broadcasting across the UK on DAB digital radio, as well as, of course, on 103 FM in Manchester. And Key 103 is now going to be known as Hits Radio.
That's our song. That's the one from your first holiday away with your mates. And you only packed one CD. That's the one from your first house party. And Mum and Dad came home early. That's the one where you were the sober taxi driver and they thought it was karaoke. That's the one your kids rehearsed and rehearsed and did a show for you and your mum. And you banked the recording for their 21st birthday. That's the one that gives you shivers down your spine. The tingles. It might be the lyrics or the beat or synapses in your brain doing crazy science stuff or something to do with the exact place in the universe you are at that exact moment in human history. Or the fact that you're with the mates you love more than anything in the world, or the person you're head over heels in love with. It's always going to be our song. And this is our new radio station.
Nicely done. Hits Radio launching this week in 2018. Much is being made just now of radio's incredible ability to boost our mood. This week in 1941, we relied on those very same qualities of our medium as the BBC began a new programme intended as a morale booster for industrial British workers in wartime.
Ladies and gentlemen, workers, late night! Hello, war workers. Gather round for your own special show, broadcast as usual from a large wartime factory canteen before a crowd of Britain's men and women victory workers. Once again, we present an all-star cast of radio and music hall artists, and this is Workers' Playtime. We're calling all workers in this country and in all the Allied nations. Here's to you, and here is your show.
Workers' Playtime. Ken Bruce should try that, shouldn't he? Might have been nobody in the canteens at the moment. Simulcast on both the BBC Home Service and the Forces programme as well. That began this week 79 years ago, aired until 1964. Now, if somebody launches a new radio station and asks you to do the breakfast show, just say no. Just say no, because very few of the breakfast show presenters who are on at launch at a station are still there a couple of years afterwards. However, having said that, this week in 1973, Tony Blackburn ended his impressive 6 years on the new Radio 1 breakfast show. And it used to sound like this in the 70s.
Girls, it's time to say goodbye to your husband. And I wonder if you're fed up with your husband running after other women. Well, if you are, then I've got the solution. All you have to do is to sew his trouser legs together.
Here's the time check, here's the time check, it's the time check now.
24 and a half minutes now to 9 o'clock.
Radio 1 Newsman.
The last Radio 1 Newsman this morning comes from the freshman. See what you think of this one.
So it was the end of Tony Blackburn on breakfast. Commenting on the changes in the press, Douglas Muggeridge, controller of Radio 1 and 2, said,
"This is our special summer schedule."
That's a canny move, isn't it? Just say it's a summer schedule in case it doesn't work out. And he goes on to say,
"Tony's promotion to the morning."
Promotion? From breakfast to mid-morning. But anyway,
promotion to morning gives Noel Edmonds, one of the network's brightest rising stars, his big chance in the early mornings. And I believe his new show will prove a great favourite with the Radio 1 audience.
There we are. So it was the beginning of this.
On 247, we're living the best part of your life. And George says, give me love. And don't forget the golden crazy phrase that you must utter as you walk into school or go into work today.
There was a dunghill in the middle of the yard.
Of course. Good morning to you. I hope the dawn has popped up rather excellently in your otoscopic organs today. You're enjoying the music coming your way. It's 19 minutes now past 7, 19 after 7. And in case you've been out of the country, or you've just been released, or something like that, and you didn't know there's a new lineup on 247 Meters, Noel Edmonds here on your breakfast show for this Wednesday morning, and each and every weekday morning at 9 o'clock, Tony Blackburn, 3 hours right through to 12, and Johnny Walker at 2, David Hamilton, and then at 5
Noel
o'clock,
Edmonds, who became the second ever presenter of the Radio 1 breakfast show this week in 1973. Nicholas Parsons died earlier this year, and it's 2 years this week since he missed his first ever Just a Minute.
Hello, I'm Giles Brown, sitting in for Nicholas Parsons, who after 50 years non-stop at the helm, quite rightly thinks he should be allowed the occasional day off.
Also 2 years ago this week, a new breakfast presenter for Absolute Radio.
It's going to be fab in the mornings, and that's from Jackie B, who claims to be a long-time listener, even though I've only been on air for 17 minutes. Thank you very much indeed, Jackie B. So getting back into the swing of the hours, I've panic-bought my breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
And I've bought a five-a-day platter, which contains tomatoes, cucumber, carrots...
Dave Berry's debut on Absolute Breakfast, and that same week the programme's previous presenter made his first appearance in Australia.
Good morning, it's the Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show, show number one in excess, and a new sensation on Gold 104.3. All the music we've been playing since we launched badly at 6 o'clock this morning, if you just tuned in, great. I didn't hear the mess of the first half hour of the show. But anyway, let's not focus on negatives. We can only go forward, friends. We've been playing songs that you've been suggesting could have been the first song that I played here on Gold 104.3, so thanks for doing that.
And he's done good things there. Christian O'Connell making his debut in Australia, in Melbourne, on Gold this week in 2018. So, with the first test match special 63 years ago...
England have won. They've won by 18 runs. Willis runs around, punching the air. The boys invade the ground.
The end of the Wagoner's Walk soap on Radio 2 40 years ago.
George Underdown is unable to do justice to Sophie's cooking for an extraordinary reason.
Fox's last Hit 40 16 years ago.
Afternoon, I hope you've had a good Sunday so far. We have an amazing show lined up, including we're going to be crossing backwards and forwards with Busted, who are backstage.
And Grimmer's announcing he's to leave Radio 1 Breakfast 2 years ago.
It honestly has been every day like a literal dream as a child coming true.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.